Hello, and welcome to the podcast Tales from the Other Green Door. My name is Laurie Graves, and I'm a writer who lives in the hinterlands of central Maine. I have published 3 young adult fantasy novels, Mind the Book of Everything, Library Lost, and Out of Time, all of which are part of my Great Library series. For more about these books, go to hinterlandspress.com. Tales from the Other Green Door is an offshoot of Out of Time. The stories involve 2 elves, Jace Willowdale and her cousin, Tirik Greenwood, and their adventures in Portland, Maine. Each week, I will be reading a segment from Tales from the Other Green Door. I hope you will join me, and if you enjoy the story, please share it with others who might like this podcast. The Wings of Luck, Episode 1. A Grenog comes to the cafe. My name is Jace Willowdale, and I'm an elf. There are more elves on Earth than you might think. We come from a dimension called Elfetair, where magic rules. All around Earth, there are portals that connect it with Elfetair, but most humans don't know about these portals. Over the centuries, for various reasons, some good, some bad, elves have come to Earth. Most are here because they want to be. But my family was exiled from Elfetair. We are woodland elves from a country called Norlander. Like so many elves, we settled in New York City, where we owned and ran a cafe called The Other Green Door. After having lived in Brooklyn for more than half our lives, my cousin Tira and I were ready for a change. A group of elves had moved to Portland, Maine, and Tira and I decided to join them. Hoping for a quieter life, we opened our own cafe, also called The Other Green Door, much like the one we had left in Brooklyn. It was a way to honor my family's hard work of starting a successful business in a land that was foreign to us. But as Tirit and I were to find out, the quiet life eluded us in Maine, just as it had in New York. When Ginny came to the Other Green Door in Portland, I'd like to say it was a dark and stormy night, but it wasn't. Instead, it was midday, a sunny afternoon in spring when everyone was out and about, glad that winter was over and the mud was finally gone. The weather was mild, but still chilly enough to wear a light jacket, and at first, there didn't seem to be anything different about the small figure who sat at the end of the counter. The hood of her dark green sweater was pulled so far around her head that her face hardly showed. My cousin Tirit was out back in the kitchen with 2 new elves, Kirsta and Torin, showing them how we prep food in the cafe. They were both eager to work at the Other Green Door, but they had come straight from Doreen's Bar and Grill, another elven eatery not far away on Wharf Street. As soon as possible, we wanted to get rid of any bad habits that Kirsta and Torin might have picked up from Doreen. We knew there would be many. Not to put too fine a point on it, but Doreen was not as particular as Tira and I were. Now that we owned our own place, Tira and I want to have the same high standards in Portland that the original Other Green Door was known for in Brooklyn. Tira's parents, Pavel and Kira, owned the cafe in Brooklyn. They had adopted me when I was an elfling, right after my own parents had died, and they are as dear to me as they are to Tirit. Beatty and Runin, 2 elves who had worked for us since Tirit and I had opened the Other Green Door in Portland, had left for the day. This was our quiet time, and I could manage by myself out front. Going over to the small hooded figure at the counter, I put down a menu in front of her. We're sold out of elf cakes, but we have other goodies. While you're deciding, could I get you some cold chamomile tea? Cold chamomile tea is one of our specialties, and we have a secret family recipe. From all over Portland, and sometimes even beyond, elves come for our chamomile tea. Our human customers often wonder what all the fuss is about. They like chamomile tea well enough, but they are not crazy about it the way we elves are. For us, chamomile tea is like a tonic, and although it is common on Earth, it is rare in Elfetair. Cold chamomile tea? The little figure asked in a soft, breathless voice. Oh, yes, please. I've hardly ever had it. Only on special occasions. As soon as I heard the voice, I knew that the creature sitting in front of me was not a human. Instead, she was a Grenog, a gentle frog-like being from Elphatear. Grenogs never come to Earth on their own. Instead, they are brought as servants by elves emigrating to this planet. Because of their looks and their shy dispositions, Grenogs hardly ever went out by themselves, especially during the day. But here this one was, sitting at the counter and trying not to be conspicuous. There were a few humans in the cafe, but so far none of them had noticed that there was anything unusual about the tiny figure in the green sweater. I decided it should stay that way. "Why don't we go out back to the office?" I suggested. This Grenog had come to the other green door for more than a glass of our delicious chamomile tea. Tyr's cooking lessons could wait, and the new elves could come out front and take orders. "Yes, that would be best," the Grenog replied. With a slight bounce, she slid off the stool and then asked wistfully, "Might I still have a glass of chamomile tea?" "Of course you can," I replied, moved by her humility and lack of expectations. But my inner voice warned me, "Be careful. She might be humble, but she could still bring trouble." However, what could I do? The Grenog was here for a reason, and my Uncle Pavel never would have turned her away. In the office, I found a small stool for the Grenog to perch on, and I soon had her settled with a glass of chamomile tea. Grenogs have three fingers and a thumb on each hand, and she held the drink tightly, as though at any moment she expected me to take the glass away from her. Sitting at my desk, I leaned forward. "My name is Jace Willowdale, but you probably already know that." The Grenog took a slow, careful sip of tea. "I do know. My name is Ginny Lilywater." "You're a Grenog, aren't you?" "Yes," came the reluctant answer. "It's all right to put your hood down," I said gently. "It's all right to show you face." With a trembling hand, Ginny set the glass on my desk and pushed her hood down. I looked at her green face, at the dark bulbous eyes, at the broad mouth that always seemed to be smiling, even when it wasn't, at the smooth, hairless head. It was a sweet face, and it pained me to think about how Grenogs were mistreated both in Elphatear and on Earth. We elves might be stronger, smarter, and better looking than most humans, but we can be just as cruel as they are. Swallowing, I asked, "What can I do for you, Ginny?" "I have something you might be interested in," she answered. Something moved inside the pocket of her sweater. I didn't know what it was, but my elven instincts told me to be careful. Ginny continued, "You're an accumulator, aren't you? You buy and sell relics?" Ginny was asking a question she already knew the answer to. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here. But Ginny wanted to hear it directly from me, that I bought and sold relics that came over with elves from Elphatear. "Yes," I answered, "just like my Uncle Pavel in New York. Usually the relics were small magical items that could be tucked in a pack or a suitcase, and they ranged from enchanting to deadly. Because the relics were on Earth, their magic wasn't as strong as they had been when they were in Elphatear, but that didn't mean the relics were useless or harmless. Far from it. If anything, the relics made more of an impression on Earth than they did in Elphatear, where they were common. On a planet like Earth, where magic is muted, a little can go a long way. That's why many of the relics stored in the Green Door's basement would never leave the bins and boxes they were in. I'd learned from Uncle Pavel, and he was one of the best. He was extremely picky about whom he sold relics to. More than once he had said, if the wrong elf gets hold of the wrong relic, there could be trouble for New York, for the country, for the entire world. Over the years, he had often refused to sell certain relics to certain elves, and sometimes the exchanges had gotten ugly. But Uncle Pavel had always prevailed, and I admired his strength. I hope I could be as strong. "What do you have in your pocket?" I asked, curious yet apprehensive. Ginny reached into the pocket of her sweater, and in her cupped hand, she removed a small creature that looked like a cross between a tiny puppy and a baby rabbit with short round ears. But instead of smooth fur, it had a fluff of brown feathers. The creature had four legs, a black nose, and dark eyes that gleamed with intelligence. Tipping its head to one side, it looked at me and chirped. For a moment, all I could do was stare at what Ginny held in her hand. I had never seen one in the flesh, but I knew what it was, an Anya. I took a deep breath. "Magic help us," I finally said. Ginny's mouth drooped as much as it was capable of. "I know, but what could I do? I couldn't leave Tova with my boss." I shook my head. "You named the Anya?" Ginny's voice was nearly a whisper. "I know it was wrong. The Anya wasn't mine to name, but my boss put me in charge of taking care of Tova from the time she was an egg. Along with my boss, I was there when she hatched. We bonded, and I had to call her something." "Your boss?" I asked, as Tova rubbed her head against Ginny's fingers. "Donna Ashglade." "An Ashglade." I knew it wasn't fair to judge elves by their names, but for me, the name Ashglade had a particularly nasty ring. It was Tamik Ashglade who had deposed my aunt and uncle from the ruling council in our country and had exiled us all to Earth. It wasn't Donnet who had done this, and it was possible that he wasn't even related to Tamik, but still. "Why did you bring Tova here?" I asked, dreading the answer. Ginny sat stiff and straight. "To protect her." "How much do you want for her?" I heard myself ask. My voice sounded faint and hollow, as though I were far away. Ginny shook her head. "I don't want anything. I just wanted to be safe from my boss." I swallowed. "He plans to kill Tova, doesn't he?" Ginny tried to blink back the tears. "Yes, and him being an elf, too." "And him being an elf," I repeated, looking at the little ball of fluff in her hand. Small feathered wings were beginning to grow on Tova's shoulders. Ginny was crying now. "Mr. Ashglade should be better than that." She was right. With almost no exceptions, elves are vegetarians. In Alphatare, magic thrums through every creature. While elves could be cruel, they couldn't bring themselves to eat flesh, and only under extreme circumstances would they kill an animal. But having an Anya certainly counted as an extreme circumstance. After all, it isn't every day that you can eat luck, even when you are an elf. This podcast was written and presented by me, Laurie Graves. Audio recording and editing were done by Cliff Graves. The music is by Maiden. My fantasy novels, Maya and the Book of Everything, Library Lost, and Out of Time, are available directly from hinterlandspress.com, as well as from Amazon and other online and brick-and-mortar bookstores. Next week, I will be reading another episode from Tales from the Other Green Door. I hope you will join me. And if you enjoy the story, please share it with others who might like this podcast. See you at the Other Green Door, which has the best croissants and magical relics in town.